Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear people, we're transitioning into the second hour, and we're even going to go get heavier into his history lessons. You're going to hear stuff that's going to make you sick that I've never heard before. What we're going to do, we'll get Mr. The Bitter Ender is going to read a quote from Lincoln, and then we're going to go, after he reads that, we'll go over to Miss Valerie. She's got some other stuff, too, that you need to hear from the from these wonderful leaders that were operating in Lincoln's war of genocide. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, it wasn't directly from Lincoln, but he approved of it. This is a quote coming from Sherman. He said the Southern people need to be wiped out, their cities and homes destroyed, their lands plowed under, and the entire region repopulated with European immigrants. So that, to me, is genocide. And then Miss Valerie has got even more details about that, and it's something really I've never heard before, that how Sherman had changed his opinion about how this war should be conducted. We in the South, you know, Sherman and four-letter words are pretty much the same. You just don't mention Sherman in certain language in mixed company. But she's got a really interesting point about Sherman earlier in the war. So, Miss Valerie, if you would go with that, please.
You must remember that Sherman taught, I believe, in Louisiana.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. He rather liked the Southern people, and they didn't dislike him. But he had, a problem that was called a psychotic incident. And at that point in time, Grant stuck with him because he and Grant were great friends. And he said, Grant said, he stuck with me while I was drunk, and I might as well stick with him while he's crazy. But while Grant was had Vicksburg under siege, Sherman wrote to him. It was on August 4th, 1863. And he said to Grant, he was looking at what the army was doing. Now, he was in charge, but he said, the amount of burning, stealing, and plundering done by our army makes me ashamed of it. I would rather quit the service if I could, because I fear that we are drifting to the worst sort of vandalism. You and I and every commander must go through the war justly charged with crimes at which we blush. Now, this was the man when he still had his sanity, when he was still a human being. And after this psychotic episode, whatever happened, he changed entirely. So,
boy, did he ever.
Yes.
Well, heard that. I had not heard that quote from Sherman that you just gave us there.
I
thought he was always a devil. had horns and a tail.
I thought it was astounding. And it said to me that he changed so completely after this, because he did have an episode. He was removed from command because he had a breakdown. You know, that's what they used to call it those days, a breakdown. And some people said, well, it was, you get the, what do they used to call it, when you had too much combat, PTSD, they call it today.
Yeah.
But
combat
he,
fatigue.
You know, he went all the way the other way. But a lot of the decent officers, but remember, by the time you got to the third year of the war, you didn't have regular Northerners in the army. You had the sweepings of the jails of Europe and England.
Yes.
Lincoln wrote to Britain for their prisoners.
Yeah.
And they could come and join. And then, these people were hardly nice people under general circumstances.
No.
Early on, there were many times when decent Yankee soldiers went and protected Southern civilians. We have actually a lot of they went and they when you had a baddie, they would tell them to get out because they knew these people and they. So these were decent people, but by the time you got that far in the war, decency was long gone. I mean, And they were told, by the way, in the Roswell, where the women were raped after they were, they were, one Yankee soldier said, we were told that we could take whatever we wanted and do it whatever we needed for our comfort. And the comfort that they saw were these beautiful young women, and they used them.
Yes.
They had to separate them, of course, because there was no, you know.
No. Well, they did that across northern Alabama, too. That Russian officer, Turchin, turned his troops loose on Huntsville and Decatur and Florence and all the way across northern Alabama. And then primarily they went after the black women. And they figured if they were there to free the slaves, and, you know, then they had a right to take the black women as their, you know, sexual conquests. And even some of their officers were embarrassed of the screams that were coming from these women as these Yankee soldiers were just lined up outside the little cabins there, and one after another were taking advantage of them. So,
well, look at the ones when Sherman went by and they followed them and they let them all drown.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly what that story was, but it's the same sort of thing.
Well, they burned a bridge behind them, you know, and they couldn't get across that river. He was tired of the contraband column following after him there. And they thought the Massa Lincoln's army done come here and we free and they're going to go with him. And he didn't want them hanging around. And he had no
use for them at all.
Absolutely. And, of course, he had that quote that, you know, they asked him about bringing blacks into the federal army. And he said, well, they can stop a bullet as good as a white man, but a sandbag is better. So, and except he didn't say them, he referred to them as the N-word. So they can, an N can stop a bullet as good as a white man, but a sandbag is better.
Well, so, by the way, there's an article that's very interesting. It's a long article entitled War Crimes Committed by Federal Forces During the Civil War. Whoever wrote it under the pen name of Publius, and it's found in the Crossroads Country Store website. The link is confederateshop.com. It's a very long article, and it's got footnotes and everything. So if
Mr.
people want to
repeat that address, if you get that address one more time, so people can go in there, if you don't mind.
Confederateshop, all one word, .com, and it's the Crossroads Country Store website. They also have the documentary that I was involved in creating called Searching for Lincoln.
We also have Dixie Republic, too. I don't know if they have that, but Dixie Republic, he's one of our buddies that owns that store up there now. They have a lot of stuff like that. But continue on, Miss Valerie. Before I forget, Rich to text in. And today, guess what today is, y'all? Anybody know what famous person has a birthday today?
Yes, I do. And you know, I don't know my birthday. You know, you get to 81 and, you know.
Abraham Lincoln. Today's Lincoln's birthday.
A lot of people, let me tell you, a lot of people were born in February. Ronald Reagan was born in February. Jeb Stuart was born in February. George Washington was born in February.
Yeah.
What happened? Must have been nine months before. It must have been quite a month.
Must have had a power outage in New York.
Power outage, yeah.
Every time we have a power outage, we have a birth, you know, a spike in the birth rate.
they couldn't watch the baseball back in the summer.
You could read Abner Doubleday on Fort Sumter.
Yeah. You know,
I have a pamphlet on that I put all together, including the number of ships that was sent. Jesus Christmas. It was, D-Day had less ships.
Yeah. That was part of Lincoln's plan to provoke a war, was sending all those ships into Charleston Harbor.
He told Anderson that. He told another gentleman, Fox, Gustavus Fox. Oh, every once in a while I remember something.
Yes.
He said, you know, that it served its purpose.
Yes. Well, and they even referred to that fleet. They got a whole bunch of rotten ships that were about to sink anyway, because they knew they were going to be shot at, open fire on them, and they even referred to them in the North as the termite fleet. So they weren't sending the cream of the crop of the U.S. Navy down there. But that was Lincoln's provocation for starting the war. And they were just going to open fire, and he had his firing on the U.S. flag and what they wanted, and then he can go right to it. And the thing they did, he made sure that this happened while Congress was out of session, because they didn't stay in session in Washington, D.C. all year long like they do now. they got out of there when the weather got hot and humid, because D.C. was a very dangerous place to be in the summertime, the swamps and everything around
is.
There, yellow fever and malaria and everything. So
I'm telling you, they wanted to get out because they knew what the heck was going on.
Well,
and they
yeah.
didn't want to be anywhere where somebody could point a finger and say, you're responsible.
Exactly.
Congress hasn't changed very much, I'm afraid.
No, no. And then the same reason he kept urging and probing and kicking and ordering Irving McDowell to cross the Potomac and invade Virginia, he knew the Army wasn't ready. He also knew that everything that happened after Fort Sumter and the incident in Charleston Harbor was beginning to calm down. They might even be able to negotiate a peace and get out of it. So he had to have another incident to fire up the anti-South war sentiment in the North. So that's why he kept getting after McDowell, that even though Lincoln knew that the Federal Army wasn't ready, send him across the Potomac, have a battle fought somewhere in Virginia, and if we win and capture Richmond, great. If we don't, we have another incident of wave the bloody shirt and keep the war spirit going in the North. So
you know,
that was the result of Manassas.
There's an interesting thing that appeared in the New York Times by a gentleman by the name of Edward Wellington Boat, B-O-A-T-E. He was a soldier in the 42nd New York Infantry and was a prisoner in Andersonville in 1864. And he wrote of his experiences in the New York Times shortly after the war ended and commented upon whom he held responsible for Andersonville's legacy, because Andersonville is always held up.
We have to go to a break. We've got to go to another break. I hear the music. We'll be right back when you finish that statement.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Go ahead. Make my day.
People, I'm having a wonderful time. Really, this has really been an educational show. It gets pretty emotional too. But we're going to roll right back to our guest, and I had mentioned a few points of similarities between Lincoln's total war, Lincoln's government, the Northern government, Lincoln probably didn't invent total war. I'd probably people like Genghis Khan may have, but as far I'm talking about modern times, you know, and that war was pretty well, I was telling them, transferred across the Atlantic by Lincoln's progeny, by the people who were in that crazy Yankee government. Their grandchildren went over and did the same thing in Germany and Russia, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I'll shut up and go back to where you were take up where you left off before the break, Miss Valerie.
Oh, I just wanted to read this. This was from because Andersonville is, whenever you talk about atrocities, the first thing that is thrown in the face of the people of the South is Andersonville. And I'm telling you, Andersonville was not the problem. This man wrote, he said, "You rulers," meaning the Union leaders, "who make the charge that the rebels intentionally killed off our men, when I can honestly swear they were doing everything in their power to sustain us, do not lay this flattering unction to your souls. You abandoned your brave men in the hour of their cruelest need. They fought for the Union, and you reached no hand out to save the old faithful, loyal, and devoted servants of the country. You may try to shift the blame from your own shoulders, but posterity will saddle the responsibility where it justly belongs."
Well, who stopped the prisoner exchange? That
exactly so. And you know, there was, Colonel Ould, who was at OULD, he was in charge of exchanges right from the beginning of the war. And he wrote to them, he said, "Your government instructs me to waive all formalities. You will not send us quinine and other needed medicines for their exclusive use, their own people. They are suffering greatly. Mortality is excessive. And still you will not exchange. Great God, can it be that your people are monsters?" And finally he said, "If you will not exchange, we'll give you your men for nothing."
Yes. Yeah.
And those were the men that they took pictures of and said, "This is the terrible South, and we're going to destroy, we're going to destroy their prisoners of war," which they were doing already.
Before they even heard of Andersonville, they were torturing prisoners and mistreating them at Helmyra and Point Lookout and
One doctor said he killed more Confederate troops than any general in any war. He was a doctor in one of these camps.
Damn. Exactly.
Mr. Riley, I'm going to make a quick comment here, if it's okay. I'm about bursting to say this. There were so many similarities in Lincoln's war of genocide against the South, 75 years later. At the end of, during World War II, the Germans have been accused of running these death camps and starting, burning these poor Jews and starving them to death. Well, then you made the point that Lincoln brought all these criminals in. He scoured the jails in Europe and brought these criminals in and turned them loose in the South. And like you said, they were criminals to begin with. There was nothing they would like better than killing and rape and looting. Well, fast forward to the Second World War, and you talked about how Andersonville, how the prisoner exchange was turned down, all that stuff. Medicine was refused. They bombed the living daylights out of Germany, bombed it to complete submission. The so-called death camps in Germany, they had prisoners of war from Russia. They had all kinds of prisoners. The Germans were starving to death, too. The Allies would not. They wrecked the railroads. They wrecked the bridges. They couldn't get any supplies, no food in there, no medicine. And Germany was ravished by disease and starvation. And then another point, he made these so-called criminals that the Lincoln turned loose on the South. So Stalin did the same thing. The shock troops, the Russian army, when they came into Germany, the good Russian troops, they knew how evil these Mongolians were. They warned the German people, "You need to get the hell out of here. You need to get out of here because the people coming behind us are horrible, bad people." At the end of the war, the so-called Allies blamed the Germans for these death camps. Look how they starved these Germans to death. And it was the exact opposite. I had to get that in there, so I'm going to shut up and
You're absolutely. Look, we're talking here. The Civil War was fought by people. People. World War II was fought by people. The Peloponnesian Wars in Greece was fought by people. People do terrible things, even good people sometimes. But most of the time, people do terrible things because they are misled and told that the other guy did worse things. There are very few people that come forward and say, you know, look, you know, they're fighting, but this is what now they're doing to Robert E. Lee now what they couldn't do after the war. They tried. Nobody could do that to Lee. There's nobody that believed it. When he was leaving Gettysburg, there was a wounded Union soldier on the ground who yelled nasty things at Lee. Lee got off his horse and came over to him, and the fellow figured he was going to, you know, put a hole in him. And he knelt down, and he told him, and, you know, he said, you fought bravely. And the guy said, by the time it was finished, he was, you know, oh my God, this isn't the man I was told he was. See? And that's the problem with all of this. If we do not get history out, to the people at least who are, intelligent enough. It's not just intelligence. There's a lot of very intelligent people who do very stupid things. People who are willing to listen and look and learn. And, you know, when there was a fellow who did the ships in England for the Confederate Navy, and they offered to build them ships that would allow them to bombard cities. Do you know the Confederacy said no? They didn't do that. They didn't do that because it wasn't how war was supposed to be waged. Yeah.
By the way, I got to make one more quick announcement, and I don't think I did. We were supposed to have Tom Goodrich and Paul English on today. I told the people we had to change the schedule, but I'd just like to let the people know. And Rich also reminded me tomorrow, Sunday, will mark the 75th anniversary. I have to count it up. The firebombing of Dresden started on the 13th.
Dresden.
It was the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of February of 1945. That's what these wonderful, these precious allies did. Oh, they were the good guys.
Did you know that they understood at the time when they did that there were Allied prisoners of war in Dresden? They knew that.
I'm not surprised, because as evil as this damn government, I refuse to call it a government. I call them a damn criminal Jew cabal. That's what they're not, a government. It's a damn Talmudic cabal is what they are. What do you think about that, Jim?
All I know is that they knew there were and they were not being badly. They were just held in Dresden because nobody had bombed Dresden. I mean, who bombs a place that makes plates? You know. Maybe you could cut somebody's throat with a broken plate, but it's not a war, you know. I don't know.
Bombed the zoo. They bombed the zoo. They killed everything there. What do you think about that, Gene? We hadn't heard from Gene in a while. Chime in there, Gene.
I'm sorry. Forgive me, good sir.
No, you're quiet. You're fine. Go ahead, Gene. Gene? Did we lose Gene?
He probably decided he wasn't getting to say anything. Oh, man.
Did we lose Gene? Okay. We lost Gene. Okay.
I think he just surrendered.
Well, you know, I just want to make sure Gene get his 2 cents worth in. But, you know, getting back to this so-called, I'm from now to this day forward. If I call this cabal in Washington D.C. a government, someone please remind me it's not a government. It is an international Zionist Jewish cabal, criminal cabal, that has captured. Actually, they captured the whole damn world now. But you know, anyway, Gene, I don't know where you. I'm sorry we left you there. But Gene, tune in there. I know you've been out for a while, and I don't want to run my mouth because this is your show and Miss Valerie's show. But go ahead, give us some of the thoughts you've had that Miss Valerie said. Well, maybe some of the thoughts I said about how the same thing, the same treatment that the South got, and they got the blame for instance, the prisoner exchange program that they weren't allowed to go in, and the so-called death camps in Germany. You can respond to anything you want to, anything else you want to say, Gene.
Well,
there's the break. Gene, as soon as we come back from the break, be ready to respond if you don't mind, brother. People, we got to go to a quick break. Be right back in a few minutes.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. is reportedly planning today to evacuate the embassy in Ukraine, as Secretary of State Antony Blinken is warning a Russian invasion of Ukraine is now looking more and more imminent.
We don't know whether President Putin has made that decision, but we do know that he has put in place the capacity to act on very short notice.
The Pentagon announcing yesterday another 3,000 U.S. combat troops are going to Poland, joining 1,700 already assembling there as a demonstration of American commitment to NATO allies who are worried at the prospect of Russia invading Ukraine. Dozens of demonstrators still protesting at a busy border crossing between the U.S. and Canada. Canadian truckers still protesting Canada's new rule requiring them to be fully vaccinated when crossing the U.S. border. And this is USA Radio News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if, like a lot of people, you just have a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing program. There are more than 400,000 members now, and they love it. In fact, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to that of health insurance. And MediShare really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. It's been around more than 25 years. Members have shared more than $4 billion of each other's medical bills. Plus, MediShare is for you. It has saved its members billions by advocating on their behalf. Best of all, the typical savings for a family is around $6,000 a year. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. MediShare has a 98% customer satisfaction rating, and you are invited to be part of it. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The nation's highest court rejecting a request from a group of New York City public school teachers who were hoping the court would block the city's vaccine mandate. Those teachers making the request after not receiving a religious exemption. Justice Sonia Sotomayor rejected that request with no explanation, but she also rejected an earlier challenge to the mandate, the appeal claiming the vaccine mandate violates religious freedom. Opening statements are expected to begin on Monday in the hate crime case against three men who killed Ahmaud Arbery. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says Judge Lisa Godby Wood has announced that she has found 64 people deemed to serve as impartial jurors. On Monday, the pool will be narrowed down to 12. The father and son, Greg and Travis McMichael, and William Roddy Bryan have already been convicted of Aubrey's murder. They have all pleaded not guilty to the federal hate crime charges. And this is USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Oh, dear Blood River Radio people, we're right back. We go right back to Gene. We temporarily lost him for a second ago. One of these malfunctions, one of these snafus in their phones, etc. But going right back to Gene. Gene, welcome back, brother. We hadn't heard from you in a few minutes. Go ahead and let us know, give us your thoughts you've had on this conversation so far.
Well, I think the FBI was bugging the line here and cut us off. So, you know, they anything they disagree with, they're going to take it out, take you out. No, the comparison between the treatment of Southern prisoners of war and what was happening to them in Northern prison camps, where they had the food and they had the medicine, they had the clothing to take care of them. And I know the death rate was so high in Elmira, New York, that they referred to it as Hellmira. And they said, well, we can't give them warm clothing because it would be civilian clothing and it would be too easy for them to escape. So they just froze to death. And I had a mass grave up there. I visited that mass grave when I was driving that medical truck, and we were racing it at Watkins Glen. Elmira is not too far away from there, and went over to visit that. So, and one point that they were talking about, that Valerie was talking about, that they had all these photographs of the federal prisoners, Union prisoners, at Andersonville, and how they were so horribly emaciated, and they looked like, you know, skeletons with skin stretched over the bones. But published these photographs or made these photographs available all over the North as a way to fire up the hatred of the South after the war and the Reconstruction government. One thing they never did, though, they never took photographs of the guards, because the guards were on the same rations as the prisoners, and they were in just as bad a shape. And most, and a lot of the Confederate soldiers in the lines, and especially in the siege around Richmond and Petersburg, they were in as bad a shape as the prisoners, the U.S. prisoners at Andersonville. But they never, they kind of skip over that point in history, and they don't make that comparison between the prisoners at Andersonville and the guards that were down there and what they looked like after the war. So, you know, propaganda is propaganda. It always is. And,
well, there was a preamble to the House, to House Resolution number 97, also known as the Retaliatory Orders, when those photographs came out. And it said, quote, "Rebel prisoners in our hands are to be subjected to a treatment finding in its parallels only in the conduct of savage tribes and resulting in the death of multitudes by the slow but designed process of starvation and by mortal diseases occasioned by insufficient and unhealthy food and wanton exposure of their persons to the inclemency of the weather," passed by both houses of Congress January 1865.
Eisenhower death camps.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, the Eisenhower death camps.
Yep. Oh, and by the way, one of the reasons there was a whole magazine about what happened at Andersonville, one of the things is they were victims of this. There's a worm that gets into you. You walk on it, and it makes you. And of course, I can't think of the name of the bloody thing.
It's a worm disease. You get that? They refer to the South as the hookworm district of the country because people went barefoot a lot and you get hookworm. You
know? Well, this was one of the things they did find with these, why these people, even when they had food, were not, you know, didn't gain weight because, you know, they had a parasite that was eating as much as they were. So,
yeah.
But they offered, you know, they said, you know, if you don't want to give us anybody in exchange, you know, send us the medicine. We'll use it only for your men. No. They wanted to say, look at what those terrible Southern people are doing.
Yeah, and they made the offer to send it over from Jacksonville over to Andersonville, which is in South Georgia, and that would have been no problem at all because the Federals had captured Jacksonville, Florida, and they could have gone over there easily and said, and just like you said, send somebody from the Sanitation Department, which was the forerunner of the Red Cross, send somebody from them over there with it to make sure that whatever you're sending in food and medicine goes to the prisoners, and you won't have any excuse about Southerners stealing that supply, those supplies that are going over there. And then Lincoln administration wouldn't even do that. And
no,
you had mentioned that. They wouldn't even take care of their own men.
No, well, they didn't want to. How can you make people hate other people if you can't show the terrible things that they're doing?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's exactly what they did.
They made
horrors out of what people couldn't help. They couldn't help it. Lee's soldiers had nothing to eat. They had parched corn.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing.
Yeah. But it was a good propaganda. I think Dr. Goebbels said once, a lie told once is a lie, but a lie told 1,000 times becomes history or becomes a fact.
You will also find, however, that when you're dealing with people who want to believe a lie, no matter how unbelievable the lie is, if I want to believe it, I'll believe it.
Well, it's like what's going on today, tearing down all of these monuments and everything. The people out there, the general public in America, is so ignorant of historical facts that you can tell them that these people were all evil, that the only reason they wrote the Declaration of Independence was to make it hard for blacks in this country, or the only reason that they wrote a constitution was to make it hard on blacks in this country, or whatever kind of idiotic nonsense they come up with.
Well, listen, when you can take down a statue from the Metropolitan Museum of History, I think so, in New York, of Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
I don't want to hear that crap.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that. What's Teddy Roosevelt got to do with any of this?
It's
and the idea that it was all about the blacks is nonsense. The man who owned the most black slaves in South Carolina when Fort Sumter was fired on got all of his money because he developed something for the cotton gin, was worth a fortune. He was a slave. He bought his freedom. He bought his wife's freedom. He bought more slaves than anybody else had. Now, how come, I ask, how come a fellow who is a slave can make an invention and keep the money?
Yeah.
Why wasn't the money from that invention given to his owner? It wasn't, you know. So, I mean, this nonsense that, oh, the terrible things they did. I said, you want to talk about slavery? Let's go to Africa, where slavery was their economy. They didn't farm. They didn't hunt. They didn't mine. They didn't fish. They made war on one another and sold the slaves.
That was it.
That was the whole economy of Africa.
Yeah. And brought them over to the coast. And the people that had the biggest slave trade coming out of Africa were the Arabs. What they were sending over here to North America and South America, the North American slave trade, and coming primarily to the South, was microscopic compared to the number of slaves that worked in the mines in South America and in the plantations
in the
Caribbean.
By the way, have you ever heard of the 80-20 division?
No.
I learned that. 80-20 was the division between them what lived when they were shipped and them what died when they were shipped. And when the ones that went overland into the Middle East with the Muslims and the ones that went over the sea to the New World or even some parts of Europe and the Caribbean and et cetera, 80% lived going over the sea, 20% died going to the Middle East, 80% died, and 20% lived.
Well, then we need to stop buying oil and getting anything from the Middle East then. We'll show them.
The point is that the only people that are responsible are the people from whites, you know.
Yeah.
Whites stopped the slave trade. Nobody else did, and it's still going on in Africa, and it's still going on in the Middle East. Do you hear anybody saying anything?
Not a word.
Not a bloody thing.
No.
Not a bloody thing.
You know, Gene made a good point earlier about he talked about they wouldn't allow photographs of the guards in the southern prison because they were as bad off as the prisoners. AKA, I mean, it's exactly the same thing as in Germany. You know, they like I said earlier, especially close to the end of the war when Germany was just, the entire nation was just they were starving to death. They will never show you the photographs of these German soldiers there that died and the German civilians that were died. They were in just as bad a shape as the so-called prisoners. But, I mean, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And you know what? The same damn rotten people that ran the government and under Lincoln, the same damn rotten people that attacked Germany Second World War. You know, it's the same damn war, really. It's just, 75 years apart. And I'm going to shut up.
Well, do you know that in World War One, you know what happened to the Lusitania?
Yes.
Do you know why it happened to the Lusitania?
Because it was carrying arms to the British.
No. Because Churchill wouldn't let it land. And I swear to God that if a German U-boat hadn't happened along, the British would have sent out their own submarine.
Of course.
Yeah.
We got to go to a quick break now, Miss Valerie. Golly, this is going to be our last segment. I can't believe this show's going so doggone fast. Be right back, people, after this. This is our last break. Hang on to your seats.
Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Hello, dear people out there, or dear Blood River family. This is our last segment. I can't believe how fast it's gone. But I was going to say something. I guess I've had kind of a forgetful senior moment, so to speak. So
a Biden moment. Gene, you had a Biden moment. We know.
That's right. Gene, you said something. I forgot what it was, but I want you to repeat it when we came back, and then we can go back to Miss Valerie. But go. Do you remember what it was, Gene?
I'm not at Biden's level just yet. I haven't sunk that low yet.
I don't think you could. Even if you died, you'd still be 10 degrees above.
Dude, yes. If you don't do anything, you're doing better. Okay. No, we were talking about, I get a lot of criticism and thrown at me, or, you know, people say, well, how can you say that? You're so critical of America. You're so anti-American and this thing like things like that. And I said, no. A person who loves their country points out what's wrong with it. And when the government is illegal and what they're doing, somebody that loves their country, loves the Constitution, says, you can't do that. That's illegal. You're destroying this country with what you're doing. You're driving this country down the road to communism and socialism. You can't do that. And you're not criticizing the country per se. You're criticizing the people that are running the country and what they've done to this country and what they're doing to it. And so many people have said, well, if you don't like it, why don't you just leave? And I say, you obviously slept through history class. We tried for 4 years to leave, and we voted to leave. And the Confederate government was the most peaceful government that's ever been formed. We didn't murder the Tsar and his family. We didn't storm the Bastille. We didn't even dump tea in the harbor. We had 13 states that voted to leave. And then we're here in this country now because that vote was overturned by the rule of the bayonet. Our country was invaded, and we were forced at the point of the gun to come back and be a part of the United States.
I've got to bring up something right
here. Go ahead. Fire away.
A point that I almost forgot, and you brought it to my mind. We have heard not only from Ulysses S. Grant, but we've heard it from Judge Scalia, God rest his soul, that the matter of secession was determined by the highest possible way, the war. And I said, if you have a constitution and you can change that constitution with a war, you don't have a constitution.
No,
you have is the guy with the biggest gun wins.
Exactly.
Is the law, whether you got bigger guns than I have or not, to say that the matter of secession was solved by the fact that the South lost the war is to say that, well, if Hitler had won, then Hitler wouldn't, there'd be no problem with Hitler because he won.
No, it's fine.
I mean, if this person who was a horrible person, you know, Mao Zedong had won or did win, but I mean, then he's right because he won. You can't have that. Well, Either you have a rule of law or you do not. And that's what we're dealing with today. We have a government that can change the rules right along, everything, if they need it. And we either have to go along or you wind up with that knock on the door that doesn't mean it's your neighbor looking for a cup of sugar.
No. Bad government makes for bad citizens. And that's what they...
Dead citizens. Never mind bad citizens.
Well, yeah,
dead
that's true. No, that's the whole point. Say Eddie and I got in an argument, and Eddie says, the sky is green and the grass is blue. And I go, no, that's not it. The grass is green, the sky is blue. And he sticks to it. Well, I get four or five of my friends, and I come over there, and we beat Eddie up. And he agrees now he agrees that the grass is green and the sky is blue. And the point being that four or five of my friends could make it to anything if we want to. It doesn't mean it's right. It just means that we have enough firepower and fist power to beat him up and make him agree to it.
Lincoln was a firm believer in, you know, might makes right.
Exactly.
And
was
Sherman
true.
Said
he was
the
right.
Same thing. What did he say? He was so angry with the South. He said, they believe that they have a right to govern themselves if they beat us.
Yeah.
Haven't you been reading, Mr. General Sherman? Didn't you read any of those little things like the founding documents? We have a right to govern ourselves, not if they have anything to say about it.
No. Well, Lincoln even said that we did. When he was in Congress, he said any people anywhere have the right to throw off their existing form of government and form a new one that suits them better. That is the most sacred, most inalienable right. And so between the time he was in Congress and when he was president, my theory is he was listening to the Eagles Hotel California. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. So that was
The point is that he, at the time, is he believed it was a national government. And, for instance, there's a whole thing about the Gettysburg Address. You know, fourscore and et cetera. A nation was not founded. You look in the Constitution, you will not find the word nation.
Mm-mm. No.
You will not find the word. A nation wasn't founded. And as somebody once said, the people who were fighting for the government, for the people, and by the people, and of the people, those are the guys in gray. They were the ones that were fighting for that.
You know, I'd like to interject something here just a second. You know, Gene made a point that he said that when you try to educate someone nowadays, try to enlighten someone, and no matter how mannerly you do it, how much civility you use, you get what they call canceled. I've been canceled pretty much here in Memphis. But here's the thing. That's why, you know, I'm always hammering the Southern Baptists, and I hammer the Southern Baptists in the so-called, evangelical church here in the United States, which to me, if they become a gigantic whorehouse. I try to educate my friends. I still have a few friends left that haven't thrown me aside, who haven't canceled me out. They got this cancel culture. I try to point out to them, if you are really truly a Christian, like you say you are, you can't follow this bloody government of Sodom and the Potomac and bomb every nation under the sun just because, you know, you're going to support the troops. Like Gene said, my country, right or wrong. You know, that's why I keep trying to hammer these people to open their eyes, to stop following this bloodthirsty criminal cabal and stop hating yourself just because you're white. And,
That's the dumbest thing I've
ever. You know, also, Ms. Fowler, you cannot have a government. The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, be damned if you don't back it up. You have to have guns. You have to have force backing it up. That's why I tell my people, my best friends, that, you know, you stop talking about how we always have to be, we can't be violent. We can't use violent speech. That's a crock. If we're going to ever win our independence, it's going to have to be with violence. And I'll shut up now. I've got kind of carried away there for a minute.
My daughter, a lot of people quote the Bible. Abraham Lincoln did all the time, and Abraham Lincoln hated Christians and hated the Bible, but he used it because it was a useful tool. My daughter once, I remember her when she was little, and she quoted the Bible, and she said, "And Judas went and hanged himself." And then she quoted the Bible, "And thou go and do likewise." Those are together. That's not quite the Bible. That's not what was... You have people, it's been said by tyrants, you can get the Bible to say anything if you quote it properly and move it around.
Was Lincoln a Jew? I think he was.
No, I don't think so. You don't have to, let me tell you, there have been very good Jewish people. I had friends that were Jewish people, and they were very good people. We have to, again, if you don't want to think all about white and how bad it is, then you can't think all about Jews and how bad they are, or all about blacks and how bad they are, or good they are, or whatever. People are people. Decent people are found everywhere. Horrible people are found everywhere. The idea is we should be looking at our brother and saying, brother, do I want to turn my back on you?
I've heard and about good Jews all my life, but I've never seen one.
People, good people are good people. I remember my husband saying when he was a kid and he got his car, and his car broke down on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. That's a death sentence.
I got a question for you, Miss Valerie.
Yeah.
Personally, I've heard about these good Jews. I've never seen one in my entire life. I'll be 75 in April. I've never seen a good Jew. Have you ever seen a Jew that would stand up and denounce the outlaw apartheid terrorist state of Israel? Have you ever seen one that would stand with it, say that that the Jews should vacate Israel and turn that land back over to the Palestinians, who actually owns it? Have you ever seen one?
The Jews are not stupid. They know if they know
they're evil.
Well, some of them most assuredly.
They're their
are.
Son. They're their father, the devil. That's who they're from. They're, AKA
well,
the Saint
ones,
John.
The, certainly the ones that follow the Babylonian Talmud most assuredly. But then again, I don't remember that Obama
Cameron
is a Jew.
Something. What was that you said, Cameron?
We lost Gene.
Said, yeah, but Jews put Obama in the power. They gave him his house. He lived like next door to it. He was put in by a power of a Jew. The cabinet of the White House is full of Jews.
I've seen that list.
You can't give these Jews a free pass.
But you have evil people all over. It's the same thing with the Masons. I mean, most when you say Masons, people remember
started and controlled by the Jews. The Masons were started originally, and they're still controlled by the Jews. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're not. Well, as I told somebody, I said the people who call themselves Jews today, I said, have as much in common with Abraham as I do. And I'm a Celt. My husband was a Greek. But I'm Scottish, Irish, and English. I said, so you, what you're dealing with here are the Ashkenazi, the people from Tashkent. They are closer to Genghis Khan than they are to Abraham. You're talking about now as far as genetics is concerned. They are brilliant people, though, which is very dangerous, very dangerous.
Well, actually, more than being brilliant, they stick together like glue, Christians have we're individuals. We have this individual spirit. Matter of fact, Sam Dixon is always preaching that. He says that American Gentiles, non-Jewish people, they have this hellfire, hell-bound spirit of individuality, and we don't look out for each other. Where Jews do, they combine their wealth and they get it through their and they get a lot of their wealth and power through their father, Satan.
Oh yes, but you see, when you insinuate yourself into the power structure, it's very difficult. I mean, Rockefeller. I don't know if Rockefeller was a Jew. I don't know if Vanderbilt was a Jew. I don't know if Morgan was a Jew. Any one of them could have Jewish. But the point is, Jewish or not, they're dangerous.
We're completely out of time. I'm sorry. I wish I hadn't spoken that last minute. Thank you so much, Miss Valerie. Thank you so much, Gene. Thank you so much, audience. Thank you, Cameron and Jay, for running the board. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio audience. Ms. Fowler, I'll be getting back to you very soon, and same with Mr. Gene. God bless y'all. Thank you so much, Jay and Cameron, for running the show tonight. People, hopefully pray that next week, the 19th, that we'll have our hailstorm show. That's what's going to happen if we can get them hooked up. Well, once again, everybody, good night. Thank you for tuning in to Blood River Radio. Thank you so much. God bless you. Good night.